John chapter 9, verse 19, the Word of God says, "And they asked them, saying, Is this your son, who ye say was born blind? How then doth he now see?" His parents answered and said, "We know that this is our son, and that he was born blind. But by what means he now seeth, we know not, or who hath opened his eyes, we know not. He is of age, ask him, he shall speak for himself." These words spake his parents because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. Therefore said his parents, "He is of age, ask him." Then again called they the man that was blind, and said unto him, "God, give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner." He answered and said, "Whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see." And let's pray. Lord, thank you for this powerful account in Scripture. And this is just one story, one accounting, one man and his family whose life was changed by you as you walked the earth. And I agree with your word that the world couldn't contain the books that should be written. In heaven, we're going to learn so many amazing stories of your miracles. But Lord, as we look at this story today, give us understanding. Here's a man who was blind, and you allowed him to see. And we live in a day when many people are spiritually blind. And we were once spiritually blind. But when we were born again, you gave us eyes to see and ears to hear. And Lord, I pray today you'd help us to understand this concept of spiritual blindness and what to do about it. And I pray that if there's anyone here that's not sure they're saved, they're not sure they're born again, not sure they're going to heaven when they die, that today would be the day of their salvation. We thank you for those that have been saved recently, and even some here today that have been saved recently, and we're grateful for that. I pray that you'd help them on their new journey of sight, and that they would live, all of us would live according to thy word. And so speak to our hearts, we pray today in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. What an amazing story we find here in the Scripture. Here was a man who was born blind. Think about that. He had never seen anything. I've heard stories of people, and actually know a few people who were born with sight, and then because of perhaps a degenerative disease or age or an accident, they lose their sight, but they could once see. They had memories of what things looked like. But here is a man who had never seen anything. His entire world had been darkness until he met Jesus. Amen. When Jesus comes, your life can change if you want it to. I'm telling you, Jesus never attended a funeral after his ministry that didn't end in a resurrection. Jesus saw the blind eyes and healed them. He saw the lame that couldn't walk and they ran away running and rejoicing. He took the mute that couldn't talk and they left his presence praising God. The deaf that couldn't hear and they could now hear. Jesus Christ is a life changer. He'll change your eternal destiny and he'll change your life here on earth. I'm glad we have such a marvelous Savior. Here's one accounting of Jesus met this man, and it'd be interesting to go through the Bible and study, and we won't today for time's sake, but Jesus healed people in different ways. And in this story, if you were to read through John chapter 9, I wish you would later, he actually used his own spit, and he took some dirt of the ground and spit in that dirt and made a clay and put it on the eyes of this blind man. You say, well, spit's gross. No, your spit's gross, right? God's spit's okay. And so you talk about clean spit. It's holy spit. And I'd be privileged to have God spit on me. Amen? But here's Jesus. He made this clay and he put it on the blind man's eyes, and still living in darkness and told the man to go wash in a certain place, and the man, by faith, did what Jesus told him to do. He could have said, I heard this guy heals people, and he puts spit in my eyeballs. And now he wants me to go wash in this pool over here, and this pool's fine, or I got a bucket of water right here. Who does this man think he is? No, this blind man, in faith, did it Jesus' way. Let me just encourage you that if you're going to go to heaven, it's going to be God's way. It's not going to be your way. It's going to be God's way. The man washed that clay off his eyes, and I just imagine as he's washing the eyes, and all of a sudden where there was just pitch black, there began to be something he didn't know was happening. It's like the darkness just got a little brighter and a little brighter, and then he finally cleaned that clay off his eyes, and he opened his eyes, and for the first time in his life, he could see. And I see him squinting against the sun. He'd never seen sunlight. I see him looking down at the water through squinted eyes and pulling up that water and letting it run through his fingers. He'd never seen water. He'd never seen his own hands. He'd never seen anything. Oh, he was blind, but now he could see. What do you think this man thought of Jesus? Hey, he was happy he ran into Jesus. He could see. Cleaned off his eyes. I can imagine him just wandering around town. I've smelled that donkey before, but I never knew what it looked like. You know, I've heard this person's voice before, but I never knew what they looked like. And wow, she's kind of pretty. And he's kind of weird looking. And I mean, just everything's brand new. He's just looking around as a child, just experiencing life for the first time. Well, then the Pharisees get wind that he had been healed. And you know the old Pharisees, they were happy he got healed, right? They were excited. Wow, somebody that... Oh, no, they were not happy because Jesus didn't heal them the way that they thought he should. You know, there's going to be a lot of people in your life that don't like what you do, serving God. But the truth is, they're not even trying to serve him. Well, you're not living life the right way. Well, I'm going to live life God's way, not your way. And so there's people in his life, the Pharisees began to be upset, and they made a big to-do about it. They officially called him before them and began grilling him. Who made you see? And not with anticipation of, let's go meet this great man. They knew it was Jesus. They knew he was causing trouble again. And every time he healed someone, it took away a little bit of their power, a little bit of their prestige, and they weren't happy. And let me tell you something, the religious crowd sometimes is the ones that's keeping people from getting saved. I'll tell you, as a preacher, it's a lot easier to take an old person who knows they're lost and lead them to Jesus than it is to take someone who's been in the wrong kind of church their whole life learning the wrong kind of stuff. It's a lot easier to get a drunkard saved than a preacher who's not saved. These Pharisees, they began grilling the man. And they asked, what do you think about him? In verse 17, they say unto the blind man, once again, what sayest thou of him that he hath opened thine eyes? So what do you think about him healing your eyes? Who do you think this man is? And the man rightly said, he's a prophet. And they were upset that he had kind things to say about Jesus. Verse 18, but the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight until they called the parents. So now they couldn't deny the miracle, and they couldn't find this. They couldn't get this guy to say anything bad about Jesus, so they were going to call on the parents. It must be some kind of hoax. They called the parents in, and that's where we began reading. They began to grill the parents. Is this really your son? How did this happen? And the parents were afraid to answer because the Jews had already decided that if anybody said Jesus was the Christ, they would be kicked out of the synagogue. That would be like being disowned. It would be the synagogue is where the Jews in town went. These are where your friends went, your family went, the businesses you went to went. And when you were excommunicated from the synagogue, the Jews, they would treat you like you were dead. Sometimes they would literally hold funerals for you with empty caskets. Oftentimes you would lose your job because you worked for a Jew. Your family wouldn't talk to you anymore because they were Jews. It was like a death sentence. And they said, we're not going to take a side in this thing. Our son's old enough, you ask him. And so they asked him again, and I love the man's answer. First they said, give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. So the Pharisees were so focused on trying to disprove Jesus, they couldn't see who he really was. Can I say this? The Pharisees were the ones that were blind. They were grilling a previously blind man who could now see. They wanted him to say what they want because they refused to see the truth about Jesus. The Pharisees were the ones in this story that were blind. In verse 25, he answered and said, this is the man who got healed, and I love his answer. Whether he be a sinner or no, I don't know. You know, I don't follow the guy around. I barely know him. But I do know this. I used to be blind, and now I can see. And we get that phrase in our beautiful song, Amazing Grace, where it says, I once was blind, but now I see, comes from this story. And then I love this man, verse 26. So he's going toe-to-toe with the Pharisees. He's not afraid like his parents. You see, when he got his sight back, he was emboldened about Jesus. He's willing to fight for Jesus. Verse 26, then said they to him again, what did he to thee, and how opened he thine eyes? And he'd already answered him a million times. So he said in verse 27, he answered them, I have told you already, and ye did not hear. Wherefore would ye hear it again? I love this. Will you also be his disciples? And they just got furious with him. See, to this man, it made perfect sense. I don't need to know everything about him. All I need to know is that he's a prophet. I used to be blind. Now I can see. I'm going to follow him. You keep wanting to hear about him. Do you want to follow him too? And wow, they got so angry. And let me tell you this, that when you get saved, it's normal for you to want other people in your life to get saved. When you get saved, it's normal for you to want to tell your mom and your dad and your brothers and your sisters and your aunts and your uncles and your cousins and your coworkers and your husband or your wife or your children or your parents. It's normal. And sometimes they don't understand why is religion important to you now? You never talked about Jesus before. You never talked to me about, you never even wanted to go to church before. What's the big deal now? Well, see, they don't understand that you used to be blind, but now you see. Folks, I used to be blind. I couldn't see God's goodness. I couldn't see His glory. I thought good things about Jesus. I mentally assented to the fact there was a man named Jesus, and he was good, and he was God's son. But I was blind. I was lost in my sin. But I'm thankful that one day a soul winner introduced me to Jesus, and I bowed my head and I put my faith in Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. And that moment, I can't explain it all. And at that moment, I didn't know a bunch of theology, and I didn't have a preaching degree, and I hadn't pastored a church for 15 years, and I hadn't been preaching for 20 plus years. All I knew is I used to be blind, but now I could see. Something was different. I'll tell you what, something changed in here when I got saved. And praise God, when we get born again, old things are passed away and all things become new. I want to preach to you a simple message this morning entitled, Are You Spiritually Blind? Are you spiritually blind? Think about this. When was the last time you thanked God you can see? When was the last time you just took a moment and thanked God that your eyes work, that you can see? Blind people can't see anything. They can't see a glorious sunrise or a breathtaking sunset. They can't see the colors of a rainbow. They don't see the glory of God's creation. They don't even see the faces of their loved ones. They can't see where they're going, and they have no memories visually of where they've been. Blind people experience the world differently than those who can see. And I encourage you today, don't ever take your physical sight for granted. You know, I didn't used to have to wear these things here. And now I do. You know why? Because I'm getting old. You know, you ever laying in bed and you want to read something, and all of a sudden, I got the old people squint now. You know, you start, your eyebrows move around and your eyes squint. What does that say? And then you get the lean. And so here's what it looked like from the side. So you're squinting and your head kind of gets a little closer. And it's like, what does that say? And my wife and I sometimes, she's like, what does that say over there? And I'm looking, you know, she's laying in bed. Maybe there's something on the screen. I'm like, I can't see. And I mean, I'm only 42 years of age. I've had to get up and get out of bed and walk over to the screen and say, oh, here's what it says. What happens when you get old? My father-in-law says all the time, whatever you do, don't get old. And I said, I think it's already happening. But have you thanked God for that you can see? I knew a pastor of a large church who wanted to keep a tender heart for the diverse people in his congregation. So he would often travel on Mondays and Tuesdays, going out of town, helping other churches and preaching. And he would do different things, trying to put himself into the lives of the different groups of people. And one thing he would do for those that were blind, they had a large blind ministry, and occasionally he would take a bandana or something and cover his eyes really well to where he couldn't see anything. And he'd sit on the couch or on his bed and put this bandana on, and for a few hours he would be blind so that he could understand the people in his congregation that were blind. And he used to talk about, you know, little things that you don't take for granted. You want a drink of water, it's a whole different ballgame when you can't see. He's in a room he doesn't know. It's a hotel room. He's tripping over furniture. He's groping along the walls looking for the doors. Light switches don't matter. Oftentimes blind people can't tell whether it's night or day, so their body clock gets off and they have trouble sleeping and different things. It's a whole different world. Little things like trying to eat when you're blind. And he would pray for them as he couldn't see. He would do that so he could pray for them intelligently and love them more deeply. I realize that just like there are people that are physically blind, the Bible says there are people that are spiritually blind. A spiritually blind people can't see what you and I see. I want you to think about that. They can't see what you and I see. Spiritually blind people have never seen the glory of the gospel. They don't recognize the goodness of God in their lives. They don't have their path illuminated by the Word of God. They don't sense the comfort of the Holy Spirit. They don't have the peace that comes from knowing the Savior. It's a different existence. It's a different world to be spiritually blind. And the Bible tells us that everybody that's never been saved, unbelievers, are spiritually blind. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I'm going to use our Bibles a bit this morning, as we often do. I often tell people, you don't want to come to church to hear what I think. Let's come to church to see what God says. And so we'll show you in the black and white of God's Word what God has to say about things. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Look at verse 3, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Who are the lost? Those that are without Jesus. See, spiritually lost people, unbelievers, those that have never been saved, born again, the Bible says they're not only blind, but they're lost. And that makes sense, because how in the world could a blind person, if you drop a blind person off in the middle of town, how are they going to find their way without a guide? If you take a blind person and drop them off in the middle of a field, how in the world are they going to find their way home? They're lost. They don't know where they're going. And the Bible says if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, those without Jesus. Why? In verse 4, in whom the god of this world, that's the devil, hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. See, we were singing songs about God earlier, and I saw you perk up a little bit, and boy, my heart rejoices. We sing the songs of God. You know why? Because now you know who He is. The blinders have been torn off of your eyes, and you recognize Jesus Christ as the perfect Son of God, the Savior of the world. You recognize God Almighty, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. We know who He is, and we recognize Him in His glory. The lost people can't see any of that. Look at verse 5, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Let me tell you something, folks. The only hope that spiritually blind people have is the gospel. It's the only hope they have. Look, I know that they just want us to preach feel-good sermons, but what they need is Jesus. They want the preachers to shut their mouths and just help with community activities. But what they need to hear about is Jesus. They need to hear the preaching of the cross. They need to see Jesus high and lifted up and His death and His burial and His resurrection. They need to know that they're lost in their sins and that they can get saved if they put their faith in Jesus. That's what they need to know. And that's what breaks through the blindness. It's not soft preaching and the tickling of ears that delivers people from blindness. It's the preaching of God's Word. Praise God that we have the gospel. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. The Bible here gives a distinction between the saved and the lost. And by the way, there ought to be a distinction. Once you get saved, there's something different about you. Once you get saved, you're ruined for this world. You'll never enjoy sin the same way. You'll never be able to be happy and fulfilled and all those things in this world, because when you got saved, God's changing you from the inside out. There ought to be a difference. Verse 17, "This I say therefore and testify in the Lord that ye henceforth after salvation walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having their understanding what? Darkened. Being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them." So why are they ignorant? Because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. See, they don't feel what you feel. They don't sit in church and enjoy it like you do. They don't read the Bible and get fed like you do. They don't get on their knees and pray and feel like God listens and answers like you do. So what do? Their only hope is just to dive deeper into sin. That's what verse 19 says, "Who being past feeling have given themselves over into lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness." So the only hope a lost person has to get any enjoyment in this life is to dive deeper and deeper into sin. But the deeper they go into sin, the more it hurts, and they're blind, so they don't make the connection that this sin is hurting me. They see the fun, they feel the fun and the pleasure, but they don't make the connection that it's this that's killing me inside and out. Because they're blind. And folks, look at verse 20. "But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard of Him and have been taught by Him as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind." See, that's how we used to live. That's how we all lived before we got saved. But what about now that you know Jesus? And let me say, if you're sitting here this morning and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, this might seem foreign to you. I mean, the service seems foreign, the music seems foreign, the preacher seems foreign. Why is he raising his voice, and why is he so passionate about that, and why is this, and how are these people just sitting here listening to this and all of this? It's because you're not saved, you're not born again. But let me tell you something. If there's a little tickle in your heart, if there's something going on in your heart that says, "Man, I want to know more about this Jesus. I'd like to know I'm going to heaven. I'd like to know that I have peace with God. I'd like to know that conviction settles in and you don't even know what it is at first. But man, if God's working on your heart, your only hope is to get saved. You'll never understand it until you accept Jesus as your Savior. Why? Because they're spiritually blind. And these verses told us that the blindness, spiritual blindness, is not of the physical eyes, but it's of the heart. And that heart is darkened. Because their heart's blind, unbelievers have their understanding darkened. Bible facts and spiritual truths that are so obvious to you are missed by the spiritually blind. They don't see why you go to church. They don't see why God's important to you. I just don't see why you fill in the blank with spiritual activity. And they have no idea how right they are. They just don't see. Let me give you a couple thoughts today as we look at this idea and we'll get to the house. What are some characteristics of spiritual blindness? And I want to show you a few verses here. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 28. Verse 29. Deuteronomy 28, 29. And thou shalt grope at noonday, as the blind gropeth in darkness. And thou shalt not prosper in thy ways, and thou shalt be openly oppressed and spoiled evermore, and no man shall save thee. So here God's talking about the price of disobedience. And one of the prices of disobedience is you grope like a blind man. What does the word grope mean? It's actually a really interesting word. It means to feel along or to search or to attempt to find something in the dark. You ever do that? You get up maybe in the middle of the night and the nightlight's not working, or you're in a hotel and you're just half asleep and you're out in the middle of the night and you're just like feeling around, and if you're not careful, you'll stub your toe on a chair that's not supposed to be there, or you're just feeling around. That's how people live. That's how spiritually blind people live. They can't see, so the only thing they can do is to feel and to grope. They search around in the dark, realize that blind people can't see their surroundings. They don't see what's in their path that they keep stumbling over that you and I might simply walk around. They can't identify opportunities in front of them, and they can't see the dangers. Oftentimes, if you go to a place like Boston or bigger cities or even Providence, and they'll have the lights for the walkways for those that are legally blind or that are blind, that have guides and such, the crosswalks will make noises now and tell you when you can walk and when not to walk, and that will beep counting down, because blind people can't see. They can't see the cars coming. And often you'll see a blind person with the stick in front of them walking, and that's just so they might know the general direction, but they can't see if something's right in front of them, or they might miss something and trip and fall and hurt themselves. And think of the unbelievers you know. How many of them live life by reaching out blindly, trying to feel their way through life? It doesn't work very well. Thank God we Christians can walk by the light of God's Word, the leadership of His Spirit. Look at Lamentations chapter 4. All right, so we see that the blind grope. Lamentations 4:14, they have wandered as blind men in the streets. They have polluted themselves with blood so that men could not touch their garments. So we see, number one, that blind people grope. This is spiritual. We're comparing this to spiritual blindness. Next, we see that blind people wander. What does it mean to rumble? It means to rove, to ramble here and there without any certain course or object in view. So they wander around. Can I say that spiritually blind people are directionless? They wander through life without a compass. Even those lost people who are focused and they think they know what they want are often disappointed by the winding journey they can't seem to understand, or the lack of fulfillment when they get to where they thought they were going. They just wander around, but we as Christians, we have a North Star that guides us. We have the will of God that supersedes everything in our lives. You have a tailor-made will of God for you, that God has given you a path. He's given you a journey. Now let me warn you that if you're not on the path of God's will, you're probably wandering around. Where do I go? What do I do? What am I supposed to do with my life? Where am I supposed to work? Where am I supposed to live? Who am I supposed to marry? Everything's just chaos and fear and anxiety because you can't see what the future brings. Well, if you're in the will of God, you don't need to see what the future brings. All you need to know is that I am lockstep in the will of God. And God's going to make sure that I get to all the places I need to go. You know, I was thinking a while back, every important decision in my life I've never made. I didn't decide what I was going to do with my life. God did. I didn't decide where I was going to go to college. God did. I didn't decide who I was going to marry. God did. I didn't decide where I was going to live. I was reading an article some months ago, and they were talking about the 10 best places to live in America. And you know, I was talking to someone about the same time that said, well, I really need to live here, but this place is more expensive. But if I go there, this, and they're trying to figure out where to live. I've never decided where to live. I was born one place, I went to college another place, and God told me to come here. It's just so many of the stressful decisions of life are just taken off of you when you surrender to the will of God. See, the blind wander. Look at Matthew chapter 15. Is this helpful to you? Talking about spiritual blindness. Matthew chapter 15 and verse 14. Jesus said, "Let them alone, they be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch." Let me just say, spiritually blind people don't make good leaders. Because if you choose to follow them, you're just going to end up in the ditch they end up in. We see this in America. You know, what America needs is politicians and political leaders who put God first and who are saved, they're born again, they surrender to God's word. That's what we need. Boy, God teaches us so many wonderful things. But the world is groping, even politically right now. America's groping. Is it socialism, communism, capitalism? Oh, where are we going to go? What are we going to do? And we're listening to the blind people, expecting them to lead us. And what happens? You're going to fall in the ditch. The scary thing is the most dangerous leaders are those who are blind and don't know it. You know, if you're a leader, if you're a parent, if you're a boss, if you're an owner, if you're a manager, sometimes you got to learn just to say, you know, I don't know. I don't know now, but I'll figure that out for you. You know, as a pastor, I don't know the question to every answer, but I know where to go to get the answer. So you might ask me a question and say, you know, I don't know. Let me look that up. Because leaders need to say, I don't know. The most dangerous leaders are those who don't know they're blind. Look at Matthew 23. Jesus here preaching to the Pharisees later in his ministry. See, blind leaders confidently and convincingly lead other people astray. They sound convincing, they look confident, but they're lost themselves. They're blind. And Matthew 23:16 says, "Woe unto you, ye blind guides, which say, whosoever shall swear by the temple, it is nothing, but whosoever shall swear by the gold of the temple, he is a debtor." So these are blind guides. They don't know they're blind. So they're giving people maxims for life. Do this, don't do that. Live by this philosophy, don't live by this philosophy. But they're blind. And you listen, you look in the world today, and especially if you're saved and you've got your eyes open, you'll see a lot of experts saying dumb stuff. Right? You ever hear someone that's an expert, and just because they got a bunch of alphabet letters behind their name, you're like, that's no common sense at all. I mean, I knew a farmer, and this is where you get to, you know, the old farmers and the old folks that used to work with their hands and stuff. They just had a level of common sense that a lot of times academics and other people just don't have, because they live in their heads. They deal with theories and philosophies. But how does that work in real life? It sounds great on paper, but it's a lousy way to live. You see, blind can lead others astray. Let me say, we see in verses 17 through 19, the blind can't see true value. Look at verse 17. "Ye fools and blind, for whether is greater, the gold or the temple that sanctifieth the gold? And whosoever shall swear by the altar, it is nothing, but whosoever sweareth by the gift that is upon it, he is guilty. Ye fools and blind, for whether is greater, the gift or the altar that sanctifieth it?" So someone would bring a gift, and maybe they would bring some gold or something that was worth money, and they would bring it to the altar or the temple, and it was the temple that made those things even more special. It was considered sanctified unto God. But the Pharisees got confused, and they were putting more value on the physical property than they were the temple that actually made those things matter. And don't we see this today? The blind people, spiritually blind people, have trouble seeing true value. If you were to put gold and silver and steel in front of an untrained blind person and you just let them touch it, how good a job you think they're going to do of figuring out by feeling which one is worth more? And thus we have spiritually blind people in our world. They place a high value on the least important things, and they trivialize the most important things. What's the most important? Your career. What's the most important? Your bank account, your possessions. What about church? Means nothing. What about God? He doesn't exist. See, blind people, spiritually blind people, can't see true value. Look at verse 24 of the same chapter. The Bible says, ye blind guides which strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. Isn't that a funny phrase? Now think this through. Straining at a gnat and swallowing a camel. What in the world does that mean? They're mishandling these situations. If you have a problem with a camel, the last thing you want to do is try to swallow it. Right? Can we all just agree on that? I've never had a camel, so I have to admit I am camel ignorant. Maybe there's someone in this room that you have had camels, or maybe you were a camel in a previous life. I'm not sure, just making sure you're paying attention. And maybe you have more knowledge about camels than I do, but I'm fairly sure that if we were to talk to a camel expert, that the way you deal with a camel is not by swallowing it. Can we all agree with that? Say, why would the Lord say something that's kind of hyperbole? Because this is how they acted. And then they strain at a gnat. You know, they're killing themselves trying to kill this gnat. Kill it. This gnat just keeps bothering me. I mean, everything stops. Their world stops. And, you know, you get a fly swatter and that doesn't work. And then they have these guns now where you put salt in them and you shoot salt at flies. Anybody seen those things? I mean, I think it'd be cool to try, but I want to do it at your house. I don't want salt all over my house, right? And but I mean, there's all kinds of things. And then you get the bug zappers, and they can zap the bugs, and that's cool to watch for a while. And then you got, I mean, but boy, this gnat's bothering me. So you're straining at a gnat. Everything stops. I gotta get this gnat, and then I'm gonna come over here and swallow this camel. What's the problem? What Jesus is saying here is blind people can't identify the problem or the solution. The way you handle a gnat is not to strain at it. The way you handle a camel is not to swallow it. Usually, if you get that right, you're usually swallowing gnats. If you've ever driven a motorcycle or anything, right? You've ever been driven a motorcycle or a bike and all of a sudden, you know, you're just driving along and get something in your mouth. And perhaps straining at a camel. But here's the problem. Spiritually, blind people not only don't have the correct answers, but they rarely ask the right questions. See, people that are blind, they don't even know the questions to ask. You know, if you look at every major problem in our world today, every major problem, outside of the church house and outside of the Bible, very few experts are even addressing the root problem. And when they do and they figure out the problem, often they don't come to the right conclusion because they're blind. They don't have God's help. Look at Matthew 23, verse 26. Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, and the outside of them may be clean also. Let me say, the blind can't see what is dirty. You ever been in the home of a blind person? Anybody in here ever been in the home of a blind person? I was at a First Baptist Church there in Hammond, and they had a large blind ministry, and one day I was with another man, and he said, we got to stop over by so-and-so's house, and it was the house of a blind person. And they had some help, but they lived pretty much alone. And as soon as you walk in the house, you realize that blind people can't see dirt, right? Unless they have help. It's no fault of their own. They just can't see it. And it was like stepping into a different world. It was like, whoa. You know, dusting's not an issue, which I'm not against that. You know, who likes to dust, right? But dusting wasn't an issue. And then the blind person says, can I get you a cup of water? And so they get a cup of water and they hand you this cup of water and you're looking at that going, that's dirty. I'm not talking about dirty. I mean dirty, like dirty. And it wasn't a problem with the man. He just didn't know. And here's the problem with blind people. They don't see what's truly dirty. We live in a world that doesn't identify sin as sin. And you know why? Because they're blind. They don't see the problem with it. They don't know why it's wrong. My cup feels fine to me. I mean, it feels clean. I mean, I want you to have water and it feels okay. But it's not. And so don't be surprised when spiritually blind people don't recognize the beauty of holiness. Don't be surprised when lost people live dirty lives. And it's the gospel of Christ that opens your eyes that allows you to see. Let me show you this last one, and I'll just mention it to you. Spiritually blind people rely heavily on other senses. And so if you know blind people, or if you have ever been around them or read their biographies, they rely very heavily on other senses because they can't see. Their hearing gets heightened, their touch gets heightened. You ever seen Braille and tried to read? I mean, imagine how much effort and work and how difficult it must be to learn to read by Braille and those little bumps, but they do. And matter of fact, sometimes blind people can put you and I to shame, those that don't accept excuses. You know, I was reading in preparation for this sermon a little bit about Helen Keller and how she was born, or she got a sickness, and she got deaf and blind. And so she couldn't see, she couldn't hear, she couldn't talk. An interesting story about how someone else who had become a teacher but had been blind themselves, or deaf themselves, I think, and also partially legally blind, would start signing in her hand. And at first she didn't understand, what are you doing to my hand? And the lady gave her a doll, and she spelled doll in her hand, and she didn't get it. And they said one day it clicked where she had water running over her hand, and the teacher spelled water, W-A-T-R, in her hand, and it clicked. She said it was like a light bulb went on. This has a name. This wet, cold stuff, this stuff running on my hand has a name. See, she didn't even realize that each object had a specific name. And it's like a light bulb went on, and she became a prolific writer, and some other things. I think about the dear blind songwriter. What a blessing. And she used to talk about her blindness, and she didn't use her blindness as an excuse, but she wrote many of the beautiful songs we sing. And she said, I'm glad I'm blind, because the first thing I ever see will be the face of Jesus. See, if you're ever around disabled people very long, sometimes they put us to shame because they don't use their problems as an excuse. They overcome them. But see, spiritually blind people rely on other senses too. Let me just say this. The two most common are, number one, logic. Spiritually blind people, they can't see the truth of God, so they have to logic everything. They trust their minds. If they don't believe it, if they can't figure it out or understand it, they rely heavily on science and education. How many people do you know like that? They rely way too heavily on one sense or another. They're unbalanced and often get things wrong. And then the other is feeling. Some spiritually lost people rely too much on feeling. They know what others say and perhaps even what the Bible says, but they just feel like... Have you ever had someone look at you and say, I know what the Bible says, but I feel like... That's because the spiritual blindness, they've relied so much on their sense of feeling, how they feel about things, that's all they know. And until they get the light of Christ and the light of the gospel in them, they're going to be in darkness. Let me give one last warning to the Christians in the room. The Bible says that those who have been given sight can choose to be blind. Just because you can see, it's possible for you to live your life like this. You ever know anybody like that? I just don't want to know. I'm not responsible for that. I can't see that. Revelation 3:17 says, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. That was written to a church. See, if you're not careful, it's possible for you as a Christian to get, you've been given sight, but you choose to rely more on your feeling. You choose to rely on logic. You choose to live blindly. But I can't get away from the fact that Jesus Christ can give sinners their sight. Let me show you the last verse, Luke chapter 4. The Bible told us that when Jesus came, he was going to help us. He was going to be able to give us sight. Luke chapter 4, verse 18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. I want you to look at me. And as we finish, are you here this morning? You're spiritually blind? I mean, honestly. Have you ever had your eyes opened by the gospel? Has there ever been a time in your life when you've been born again, when you realize your need of Christ and you put your faith in the Savior? If you've never been saved, don't live a blind life. All you got to do is trust Jesus as your Savior. We can help you with that. In just a few minutes, we'll have an invitation. Heads will be bowed, eyes will be closed. Christians will be coming forward to pray. We'd love to take a Bible and show you how you can know for sure you're going to heaven. You don't have to live blind. You can have purpose, significance, peace. Let me say this to the Christians in the room. You've been given sight. Don't choose to live blind. Why in the world would you look at a blind world and say, well, they get to? It's because they're blind. Well, why do they get to and I can't? They're blind. Why would you want to go back to blindness after God has given you sight? It just doesn't make any sense at all. Let's live in the fullness of what God's given us. And then I finally say, there's a lot of people in your life that are blind. When's the last time you told someone they could see? When's the last time you went to someone hurting in your life or someone you knew needed Jesus and you just said, can I just talk to you for a minute? My life was changed when I trusted Jesus, and I want the same for you. Let's be faithful getting out the gospel. Let's bow our heads, close our eyes. Father, thanks for the truth today. Pray that you'd help us.